Just two best friends accidentally starting a podcast. Just out here doing our best.
Being spooky and beautiful at the same time.
I'm Megan.
I'm Nola.
And we are the Dead Magnolias.
Three, two, one, we're going live.
What the fuck are you laughing at? Hey everybody, welcome back. We hope that you guys are getting into the holiday spirit. Yeah, Christmas is coming up. Watch some creepy shit. I bought P2. Haven't Yay! Watched it this season yet, but we're gonna do it.
We have to.
It's so good.
Guess what I did yesterday for the first time ever?
Unicycle.
Yes. No. I went and bought a Christmas tree. But, like, a live one.
Oh, did you go to a farm?
Yes. That's and I got so to, rad. Like, be a part of the cutting it down thing.
You were a lumberjack.
I was, for half a second. Lumberly. And then I gave up. Yeah, my roommates and I went to a tree farm yesterday, and we found a really, really nice tree, and it was awesome, and we were, like, halfway through cutting it down, and my roommate, Hannah, looks at it, she goes, stop. This tree is $63. And we were like, ooh. Okay, so we went to another tree that was $40, and it has scoliosis, so a little curve in the top, but it is so cute.
It's just sassy. It's a sassy tree.
And it's kind of like bare, it's like a step up from a Charlie Brown tree, but it's really pretty. We decorated it yesterday and got the house all ready, and I'm ready for Christmas.
Guess what I did yesterday?
You didn't unicycle.
I did not. I went back to the Ohio Village.
Oh my god.
So, remember how I did the, like, Halloween thing?
Yeah.
Well, yesterday I did the Christmas thing.
Of course you did.
Because, my mom turned 60 on Friday. My mom is Yay! 60 years old. So she wanted nothing more than to go to this Christmas village, which it's, like, called Dickens of a Christmas.
Of course.
And Jeremy and I did it 2 years ago, and then we went back again yesterday and just made jokes. It's the same. Yeah. It's, like, you walk around, it's a Victorian village. They tell you how they, like, celebrated Christmas back then. There's, like, Dickens characters walking around, and, like, Scrooge is, like, chasing people down, like, hey, like give it. Me my money. And, we made a bunch of jokes to my mom's boyfriend. We're like, hey, Eric, like, does this remind you of your childhood back in the 1890s? And he was like, ha, 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 blah, blah, blah. But,
being so, yeah, Scrooge.
He was kind of, he ended up having fun.
In a Dickens Christmas, just saying. Wait, did he write?
Yes, it's okay. Christmas carols.
Thank you.
Where Scrooge is from.
That was the joke. I'm not saying that Eric's a Scrooge. I was just saying it was ironic.
But yeah, so that was, and do you know what we're doing next weekend?
Next weekend,
you... Me and Jeremy.
Oh, you told me. I can't remember.
We're going back to the Ohio
That's Historical right. Society. I was like, I'm pretty sure you said you were going to the yes. Historical Society like eight times this year.
We've been like 6 times in our entire relationship, so it's like, brought to you by... The Ohio Historical Society. We also just go to museums all the time. So it's like a really lovely, nerdy relationship. We just learn together, which is cool.
I like it.
Yeah, I like field trips.
Me too.
Speaking of which.
Oh my goodness, speaking of what?
Field trips.
Uh-oh.
Megan, what did we do last weekend?
We went on a field trip.
Where did we go, Megan?
I went to a couple places, but we went to Mansfield, Ohio. I went to Detroit on Saturday.
Oh, yes. I forgot that you did that. Mm-hmm. It's crazy town. But...
with our sound tech. Manager. Whatever
your name
is.
Punching
bag. Ha!
Photographer. Yes. So, me, Megan, and Johnny went to fucking Mansfield Reformatory.
Yes, we did.
We went to Shawshank. None of us had seen Shawshank. Johnny watched it last night.
Without us.
So... but whatever. We saw a bunch of cool stuff. They had a bunch of cutouts of Morgan Freeman.
They did. Standing around the prison.
But yeah, it was a creepy cool time.
I had a lot of fun. That's the second time that I've been, I guess technically second time I've been inside. Because when Kathy and I went, we went to go take a tour, but we were there after 4. Mm-hmm. So they weren't open anymore. So we stared at the outside of it and I was like, oh my god.
Which is beautiful.
Like, I just want to go inside. It's one of the, like, haunted hotspots of Ohio. Ohio has a lot of haunted attractions, but Mansfield is one of the most notable.
Top dog.
So, that is part of our episode today.
Yeah.
And I can go through my part of our segment, which is the history and the ghosts. Some of them, a few of them, at the reformatory. So, like we said, it's located in Mansfield, Ohio. It started construction in 1886, and it wasn't completed until 1910.
Damn.
That's a long time. That is, like, basically, actually, it is Johnny's lifetime. I was going to say it's basically our lifetime, but he's 24, so.
Oh, damn. It is. Exactly.
So this place is really big, so it, like, makes sense that it would take that long to build, but I was looking into it, I was like, why did it take 24 years? Like, that just seemed a little intense, but...
Because we only saw, like, a small fraction of it, right?
Yeah, because they closed parts of it down for part of the year, because it gets really cold. There's just a lot of damage, and a lot of it's open, so it was cold, but...
Yeah, we were in the chapel when it started hailing, and I literally reached my hand through a hole, like, in the wall, and it got hail into my hand.
To the outdoors.
Yes.
We thought it was like a crazy storm that just blew through, because our whole drive up, we were like, man, those clouds are kind of intense, and we get there, and it's like pretty dark, and we're like, that's interesting. It's December. It was December 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we heard thunder, and then I heard what sounded like really heavy rain, and I looked outside, and I said, oh, it's hailing, and she had a whole handful of, like...
Hail. Little hail things.
What? How, like, big do you think they
were? They were, maybe, like, a bead size.
Yeah. Like, or, like, think of a pearl necklace. They were about that big. But the reason it took so long, there was a lot of, like, financial gaps, where they ran out of money and had to wait. So, you remember how I told you it was open until, like, recently? I think I said the 70s when we were there.
Oh, yes.
It actually, like, closed in 1990.
Like a functioning prison.
Yeah, it was a functioning prison
until the
90s. 1990.
Jesus Christ.
So, we mentioned earlier that if you have no idea what this place is, if you're not from Ohio, if you've seen Shawshank Redemption, it was actually filmed at the prison. Most of it is actually inside the prison. So, that's a pretty cool spot for Ohio's history.
Mm-hmm.
So... we're going to talk about Nolan and I's trip a little bit when we get to the ghost hunting part of it, just because I want to talk about when it was actually a functioning prison that didn't look as run down as it does now.
Like, seeing how it is today, I can't even imagine being an inmate there. It's, like, crazy. It's so janky looking inside. And just, like, small. The cells are small. Mm-hmm. They're, like... I don't know. It looks super inhumane.
Which
so, like,
it was.
So, like, the 90s is blowing my mind.
Right. Well, it didn't start off being as intense as it is now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Without the rust and paint chippies.
Yeah, it's literally peeling paint. Like, you go in there and paint is peeling off of the steel. It's peeling off the walls. The wallpaper is kind of destroyed. Like, it looks really spooky now. But I just want to be able to go back in time and see it when it was...
brand new.
Yeah. So, like I said earlier, it was built and started in, 1886. They broke ground in 1861 because this field that it was built on was actually a training ground for Civil War soldiers.
Mm.
So, that was pretty cool for me to learn. I did not know that. So, construction took about 24 years. Guess how much money they put into this?
Millions, right?
Maybe. Give me a number.
I am, you know, I'm so bad at this shit.
Yes, I do.
So you're gonna make me do it?
Yes. Think it's 1910.
I don't fucking know. 2 million.
Close. 1.3.
Okay.
So it's $1.3 million by the time they were all done. And I looked it up because I was like, $1.3 million in 1910 is a lot more money now because inflation. That is the equivalent of $27 million today.
Jesus Christ
because
almighty.
The inflation rate was like 3.08% or something. I don't know. I don't know how math works. Yeah, so it's a massive place, and its original goal was to house first-time offenders. So it was an in-between place for people that went to, like, boys' homes mm-hmm. when they couldn't, you know, live at home. It was a step between that and the Ohio State Penitentiary in Columbus. So it was meant to be
Like minimum security?
Yeah, minimum security. Literally, they're there for a little while just to, like, rehabilitate them and send them back into society, change people. And that started on September 15th, 1896. The reformatory opened its doors to its first 150 offenders. These prisoners were brought by train from wherever they were. And they were immediately put to work on finishing the prison. So okay. I would shape up very fast, too.
You're going to build your own prison.
Right. So by the time construction was finally complete, there were 600 cell blocks that were six stories high in the east and west cell blocks, which it's, like, incredible to stand on that bottom floor and look up.
We'll post some of our pictures. It's crazy. I don't know if we talked about this in earlier episodes, but I've got, like, a crippling fear of heights. And we started off, like, in the cell blocks on top of this tower, like, on the top floor of the cell block towers. And I almost couldn't move. It was so tall. It was so thin. Yes. Like, the walkway was so thin. And it was just...
I mean, you're, like, held in there by steel. So I just kept telling her not to look over the edge because you can see straight down.
Yeah.
Which we got her down to the bottom, so it all worked out.
And I'm alive. No right. Heart attacks or falling.
It was close. Yeah. It took a while to get her down the stairs.
It wasn't the longest, though. I was kind of proud of myself.
I was proud of you. So like I said, the first goal was to get these kids reformed. So there's 150 people, 600 cell blocks, plenty of room for these people. But the state penitentiary was facing a large rise in their population of violent crime offenders. So they started sending people to the reformatory, which obviously caused a lot of issues. So by the time that was happening, cell blocks were being packed. So the cells are small because they were meant for one person. So they were packing three people into these cells. And when you look at them, like, we'll post a picture of the inside of one of them. There's only two bunks. So if you've got three people in there, one's sleeping on the floor. It's just... They were not in great conditions. So the goal of the prison quickly switched from rehab to punishment. There's a lot of reports of just, like, basically torture tactics in the prison. It's just really sad to hear about and just think. I don't know. I was talking with my coworker, Beau, on Friday about the Stanford Prison Experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like... I can link that, you know, to what happened at the reformatory. While, you know, the roles were the same, like, guards were obviously guards, prisoners were prisoners, the way that they treated each other was, like, pretty similar to how it played out in that experiment. If you don't know what that experiment is, look it up and watch the movie. It's fantastic. So they had penalties in place for the inmates that were basically torture. There were plenty of punishments in place before the particular one I'm going to talk about. But if other methods wouldn't work, inmates got sent to the hole, which is just solitary confinement.
Yeah, we walked through there, and they said that they had, like, three different types.
Mm-hmm.
Ones where they were, like, suspended in darkness for 24 hours at a time, suspended in, like, full light for 24 hours, and then ones where they could only stand for, like, 24 hours.
Yeah.
Which is fucking gnarly.
What was the 8 and 8 thing?
That was the standing one.
Yeah, the
one.
Standing
it was, like,
and
eight...
laying down. Yeah. Like, they weren't allowed to...
They had 8 hours that they could... That they had to
they
stand.
They had to stand. They were shackled to the wall.
And then 8 where they could lay on the floor.
And they weren't allowed to, like, get up. They had the electric chair there. They had, like, just different forms of torture to get these people to... quote-unquote, get their mind right. So, they were subject to punishment from these guards, but then, you know, you're in a prison full of violent offenders, so you're also at the will of these other people. If you made somebody mad, you have them to answer to. Every website that I read was talking about the gross food that was in the prison. And I think that, like, while you're taking the tour... There is one of the audio things you can listen to that talks about the food conditions, and it was just disgusting. People think prison food, gross, think worse for this prison. Rats were running rampant, especially in solitary. And then just disease. So, we're going to talk about the hole for a second. I would say that this place is just spooky. To say the least about it. Like, just looking at it, even with it being run down, you can, like, almost just imagine what it looked like when it was not peeling paint. Probably didn't look too terribly different than it does today.
Oh, yeah.
The cells were really small. I think that they were meant for one... Well, yeah, one person solitary confinement. It's fine. But there was a riot that broke out in the prison in the 80s, 70s or 80s. And there was 100 people, 120 people, I think, involved. So they packed 10 people in a cell.
Oh, my God.
You remember how small those cells were.
They were rinky-dink.
Yeah. And then there's reports of, like, during that time that one person was killed. At least one person was killed. And they shoved him under bedding for a few days to hide him. And then they all got let out and they found the body and they were like, ugh. So, really small. They only had a toilet and a bunk.
Yeah.
And, like, a really thin mattress. So it wasn't comfortable in there. But they usually just had to sleep on the concrete floor. And I was watching an episode of something and there was an ex-prisoner that said it was 98 degrees in there year-round. It could be. I don't know. It was either... When I went in the summer, it was really, really fucking hot down there. And then when we went last weekend, it was just so freezing. Cold. Like, I could see my breath. Yeah. I hated it.
There were signs that were like, watch for ice on the floor.
Right. We were talking about that 8 and 8. I would say that was the one that made me and you the most uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, just forcing them to do things while they're already forced to be alone for, like, X amount of days, weeks, whatever. It's just hard for me to, like, look back into human history and see how we treat each other. Yeah. Just based on... power.
Super fucked.
It's gross. Let's see. So, the prison, like I said, was ultimately shut down in 1990 because the government saw that it really wasn't helping prisoners. There was a lot of death, there was a lot of suicide, there was a lot of just crazy stuff that was happening that was not supposed to be happening in a prison. So the Council of Human Dignity actually sent a letter to the government and was like, this place needs to be closed immediately. So it was closed, I think, 6 years later. So it took some time, but, yeah. So that's really all the history I have for it. There's obviously more that I didn't cover, but it would take me 10 years to get through all of it. So we're gonna get on to the super spooky, supernatural stuff.
Ooh!
Like my alliteration. I was typing it.
Super spooky, supernatural and
I got
stuff.
Through super spooky, supernatural, and I was like... I need another S. And I put surroundings. And then I was like, nope, stuff. It works.
Succinct.
So I could talk for a really long time about this because I've watched pretty much every paranormal show that has covered this place. But to spare our listeners just a little bit, I'm just choosing, I think I have 3 places in the prison that have stuff that have happened. I would just like to note, Zach Bagans has been there. I was fangirling just a little bit.
Which is so funny because Megan has met the man. She has a photograph of herself with Zach Bagans.
That I will never post. I look terrible.
And we're walking around this prison. She's like, I'm stepping foot where Zach Bagans stepped foot. And I was like, you fucking touched him.
Yes, before. I did.
Like, what the hell?
Yes, I did.
But okay. Yes, yeah. That was a cool aspect of being there.
Zach Bagans. All right. So we're going to start with the chapel. Nola stole part of it with me telling, or her talking about the massive storm that rolled through.
Oh,
but
so sorry.
I don't know, I was going to have you tell it anyway, so it works. You just...
Also, can I just add the fact that the entire time we were on this tour, there was a couple having an engagement photo shoot. Engagement photos. So they're, like, on this stairway, because there's, like, some more actually beautiful parts of the prison. Where, like, kind of made sense, but then they were in these, like, really ramshackle-looking fucking places. Like, this dark, dusty, like, covered in bird shit chapel. And they're, like, sitting in the pews and getting their fucking pictures taken.
Facing was, like, the fucking cell blocks.
And then there's, like, me and Megan and Johnny just, like, running around, like, oh, is this poop? And then, like, being gremlins running around.
I hope we made it into a few of them. I know we made it into at least one.
And then later, we ran into this couple, and they were wearing pirate outfits. They were wearing pirate costumes.
It was real awkward.
Like, why? there's so many questions. Like, why take your engagement photos in the reformatory? Why take costumed engagement photos in the reformatory? Why pirates? And, like...
And he only had a pirate hat.
She had a whole thing going on. I was, like, almost confused. I thought they were, like, boudoir photos. And I was like, is she laying on the ground here?
We were convinced. Oh, honey, and then child. I walked out and I was like, oh, nope, that's a pirate hat. He was in them.
So, we're in the chapel.
Yeah.
They're taking photos, but we're also running around doing stuff. Megan's painting a creepy scene. I just had to interject real quick.
No, it's okay. I remember she took a picture and it lit the chapel up with the flash. And I was like, oh my god, it's lightning! And then I was like, oh no, it's just her flash. But then there was a storm, so it was kind of interesting. When you walk into the chapel, it's one, it's huge. Like, it's so big. And so scary, because it's just dark.
It used to have a balcony.
Yeah,
so... But they took out the balcony seating.
Yeah, when you walk up the stairs, you walk in and it's literally just open. And right above where you're at when you come through that door, there was a big balcony. That it fit, I think they said 1,200 people?
Yeah, because they had all prisoners attend service at the same time.
So, just think of a room that could fit that many people. And that's where we were.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like the paint is peeling, the wallpaper is literally ripped on the wall. There is a blood splatter on the wall, on the left side of the thing from Shawshank, when they had a fight scene in there. Do you remember that scene? I haven't seen the movie.
Johnny, only person here who's seen Shawshank.
What?
The fight scene in the chapel.
The fight scene in the chapel.
Somebody gets shot and there's a blood splatter on the wall.
Yeah, it's still there today.
I don't
All right, you're useless.
That was particularly
I watched it like less than 12 hours ago.
Then it should be fresh on your brain.
Being a fight scene in the chapel at all.
Well, maybe
or anyone getting shot in the chapel.
Well, then maybe somebody
get bloody?
Got shot.
I think only two or three people get shot throughout the entire movie. One's in an office and one's outside. I can't think of.
They could have done the office against the wall because there was like a part.
Oh yeah.
That they were like, this was in the hotel.
Oh, right.
But it was like actually shot in the prison.
Yeah, it's literally like you can see
movies.
The bullet hole. And the blood splatter around it. It just, like,
or
didn't wash off.
It could have been any of the other movies that were there. There's so many movies shot there.
I remember I was following a guided tour around
and
that
said
they
Shawshank.
Said Shawshank. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they were probably lying.
You're probably lying. So, it doesn't just look creepy in there.
There's no lights either.
Yeah, it's just, like, it's dark. If you're in there in the middle of the day, it doesn't matter. Like, we were there and there was light outside for part of it and then the storm came in. But it was just really dark in there because... There's isn't a stained glass, and you know, it's just a lot. But people have reported, like, shadow figures in there, or they've even reported, like, when they're up near the pulpit, they see people sitting in the pews. Like, they'll see a woman sitting in the pew, they'll see a man sitting in the pew. It's not like they look up and suddenly there's a congregation. It's just, like, one or two people.
That would be the most frightening.
I would run out so fast.
A full room of ghosts.
I would jump out the open window.
Oh, yeah.
Where the hail was.
Yep.
Just gone.
Get the hail out of there.
Right.
All right.
And then there's been EVPs up there, too. But figure we can't go with talking about a prison and not talking about the haunted cell blocks. I feel like
that'd
be cheating people out of things. So many people have reported seeing former prisoners, like, walking out of a cell and down to another one and going inside, and hearing them talk inside their cells, almost like no time has passed, they're still alive, and they're stuck in prison. What an afterlife for them.
Jesus.
That would suck. But there's also a story that I found really interesting from a guy that works at the reformatory. And they have these, like, video things set up throughout that you can hear about the history of the area that you're in. But they also have a paranormal section that you can watch. And when he's in, I think it was the West cell block.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was walking up for the day with him and a couple other coworkers. And they were leaving the West cell block. And they remembered that there was a door at the top of the stairs that they forgot to shut and lock. So he was like, well, I'll go get it. You guys can go ahead. So he left and walked away from them. And as he's walking down the length of the cell block, which is a pretty good distance. Like, those cell blocks areas are huge. They're just massive. We'll post a picture of me and Nola. We look like little tiny ants. And then the rest of the prison's behind us. But he's walking down the length of the block. And he sees somebody about 4 or 5 stories above him walking with him. Like, he sees it out of the corner of his eye that this person's keeping pace with him. And he looks up and he sees a shadow figure keeping in step with him. And he's like, okay. All right. So he keeps walking and then he's like, actually, I'm going to stop. So he stops and this shadow figure does not stop and walks all the way down the length of the cell block, turns, and stands at the top of the stairs right where he needs to be to shut that door and lock it. And he said that the guy, like, stood and stared at him for, like, a minute or two. And then as he went up to go lock the door, he just disappeared. I don't think I would have stayed there that long.
Mm-mm.
I would have seen it and then actually witnessed it following me. And I would turn around and leave. I'd be like, this is yours. You can have it. Like,
you can have the unlocked door.
Fuck it. I don't care. Yeah, there's no way that you could keep me in there. That story always scared me. He has, like, he does all the ghost tours there. So he has a bunch of stories that are pretty creepy, but that one really stuck out to me. So the last place we'll talk about is the hole. So like I mentioned earlier, there was just a lot of torture tactics that happened in solitary confinement, and it was just kind of a desolate area where people just went and didn't really see an end to their suffering in there. I'm just thinking that would bring a lot of, like, negative energy to that place. And there's a lot of negative reports down there. So plenty of people reported hearing voices when they're alone, getting sudden stomach aches, and, like, a feeling of being followed or being watched the whole time that they're down there. And there's actually, like I mentioned, a whole Ghost Adventures episode. If you want to watch it, it's season 3, episode 4. It's fine.
What's it called?
Mansfield Reformatory, I don't know.
Okay.
Ghost Adventures, whatever. But when they go into the hole in their investigation, they had a girl that works at the prison with them, which, I mean, sign me up, like, anytime. And she, like, immediately they got down there, and Nick did his, let's show everybody what it looks like down here.
This is what we see.
And he turns off, and it's just black, and he's like, see, all you can see is the LED light on Zach's camera. And you're like, that was really helpful. And cool. It killed 10 seconds. Really? Whatever. Good. So they turn the light back on, and the girl immediately is like, I'm having a really hard time breathing. And they caught a couple of EVPs, but they had talked to a guy earlier that day about one of his ghost hunts and his time in solitary. And he said he felt like somebody, like, rushed him and, like, just was standing face-to-face with him, almost, like, challenging him. And he was like, so I just said out loud, I'm not afraid of you. And he's like, which was a lie, because I was fucking terrified. But he's like, I said it, and the feeling went away, and, like, right after that, they caught an EVP. And it's pretty clear, like, they played it, and you just hear, outstanding.
Oh, God.
And it's, like, it's, like, this really deep male voice, and it's just, like, ooh, I didn't like it. But watch the episode. It's really funny seeing Zach. He was so small. He's really, really buff now. He was only kind of buff back then. It's fine. I'm in love with him. But, yeah, that's all I had for the Mansfield Reformatory. There's plenty of other things to talk about with that place, but I'm going to let Nola take over.
All right. So, if you decide to travel to Mansfield, Ohio, go to the reformatory, and you're done with that, and you're like, I still want to see some spooky stuff, you do not have to travel far. There is a place nearby called Malabar Farm State Park.
It's beautiful. I've been there.
So, I'm already a fan of state parks. But this one seems really cool. So before it was a state park, back in the late 1930s, author Lewis Bromfield, he moved back to the U.S. and he was like, I'm going to settle where I lived in my childhood. So he was like, Ohio.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple of books from him that I bought at the gift shop.
Now, a lot of them are written about Malabar Farm. So he, like, preserved the forest there. He restored the farmlands, and he built a 32-room country home. And it's beautiful. Like, at this home, he lived there for a long time, and he had a lot of, like, famous friends that would come all the time. He actually hosted the wedding of Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall back in 1945. So they, like, got married there, they honeymooned there, and he had a lot of other famous friends come by and hang out at his beautiful, huge house.
It's massive and gorgeous. My aunt and I went on a tour of the house. It took a long time, but holy crap, that house. Ugh, it's what dreams are made of.
Very cool. but sadly, in 1956, Bromfield died, and they weren't, like, super sure what to do with his home, and eventually it went to the state. 1972. So the state absorbed it and then combined it with a bunch of other properties, and this became a park in 1976. So it's the Malabar Farm State Park. So the park includes a lot of different places. So it's got Bromfield's Big House, which is actually on an episode of Ghost Hunters.
The one with, like, Jason. And,
yeah. And there's also, like, an Ohio paranormal activity investigator group that went through the Bromfield house, and it talks about how there are some, like, lingering spirits from him and his family. So his young children and his wife still hanging out there. But that's not going to be the big focus. There's also a pug cabin on that land, which is, like, they did some Shawshank scenes there. The opening scenes are there. But then there's also the Seely Rose House. So, this is on the lands of the state park, and it's a 19th century home of a young, mentally challenged girl, Seely Rose. So, this Seely Rose lived there, and she committed heinous acts there. I'm going to actually read from an article. So, what does this say? This is from LimaOhio.com. But it says, Celia Seely Rose did something horrible in Pleasant Valley one early summer morning in 1896. The 23-year-old Seely, who according to contemporary accounts was silly, a slow learner, poisoned her family over the disapproval of her infatuation with a neighbor. So Seely was, like, kind of slow, and she had a stutter, and a lot of people made fun of her. And she had this neighbor, Guy. His name was Guy. And he was nice to her. He was very kind. And she instantly became infatuated with him.
Naturally. Yes. I would become infatuated with the only person that was ever nice to me.
Yes. And so, like, he kind of just, like, was gently letting her down. Like, he was like, hey, Seely, like, I really like you. You're a nice person. But, like, my family doesn't approve of this. And then so she told her family, and they were like, we don't approve of it either. And she was like, oh, okay, fuck you, and poisoned them. So, she actually poisoned them with a specific arsenic that is, like, really funny, the way that they put it. It says, so at breakfast one morning in late June 1896, Seely laced the cottage cheese with rough-on rats, which was almost pure arsenic. The rodent poison was very rough on Seely's family.
Rough on rats.
Rough on rats. So it killed her father, like, in a couple of days. In a few weeks, her brother died. And then her mom, she, like, kind of came back, came to, didn't die, it, like, right away. But then she kind of, like, caught on as to what was happening and still disapproved of Seely going after Guy. And then the mother eventually died. So naturally everyone's like, oh, there's only one person in this household left. It was fucking Seely. And she, they tricked her into admitting it because they had, like, no evidence. So they got a friend of Seely's to go in and talk to her, and she admitted to her friend that she had murdered her family. But then she was found innocent, or not guilty, not innocent, but not guilty due to insanity. So they sent her to a home for the clinically insane in Lima, Ohio, and that's where she died. But many people believe that she is still haunting the house on Malabar Farm.
Which is cool. Sorry, I think it's cool.
Yes. But people see, like, her face in the windows. There was a man who, he does the, like, tours. Mm-hmm. They've got haunted tours going on Malabar Farm. It's called Night Haunts. So they explore the big house.
Yeah.
They explore the Celia Rose house and then a few other places. So the main guy that does these tours, he said that he's seen, like, an actual manifestation of Celia's ghost. And he's like, and I'm not the only person. There was one time he was giving a tour.
Like, at the same time?
No, like, a different instance. He was giving a tour, and this, like, 11-year-old girl just started weeping.
Oh.
And, like, later...
An 11-year-old was on a ghost tour?
Yes.
Want to meet her parents?
She was with her grandfather.
Oh, shit!
So, the grandpa comes back, and he's like, I'm really sorry. Like, my granddaughter is actually really sensitive to this sort of thing, mm-hmm. and it happens all the time. But she said that when you were talking about Celie and the murder she committed, she saw Celie sitting in a chair right behind you.
Oh my god. I got chills. I would start, like, crying too.
That's, like, super fucked. But, yeah, this man who does the tours, he is infatuated with this, like...
The whole story.
Yeah. With all of the farms and, like, the rich history of it.
Mm-hmm.
That he ended up writing 3 separate plays.
Plays?
Yes. So they have an annual performance in October of the Ghost Story Trilogy.
So are we gonna go?
Yes. One is called the Celie Rose Play, one is called Louie, after Louis Bromfield, and then the other one is called Phoebe Wise.
Phoebe Wise.
Yes. So Phoebe Wise was a woman who lived in a shack off of, I think they said she lived on Reformatory Road.
Oh, that's where the prison is.
Yeah, so it was in between the lands there.
Okay.
And she was, like, a strange woman. Everyone knew she was kind of wacky.
Yeah.
She would wear, like, brightly colored clothes and just kind of, like, walk the road, like, pacing.
I guess she's wearing bright clothes. She's not going to get hit.
Yes.
Hopefully.
And so she had a boyfriend, and they had a disagreement, and she shot him. But, like, nobody could, like, prove it. Or something like that. I don't know. But eventually, like, she and her family sold some of the land to the reformatory.
Yeah.
So everyone knew that, like, she was loaded. But she kept living in the same shack, kept walking everywhere, wasn't doing anything with the money.
How'd she make the money?
Or from selling the land.
Oh, just from selling the land. Okay.
So, naturally, some men are, like, she's sitting on the money, she's, like, hidden it somewhere.
Right.
So they go, and they, like, tear her shack apart, looking for the money. And the article I read was, like, and as they were leaving, they brutally murdered her.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, just, like, a passing thing. They just, like, they didn't say how they did it, but she was murdered by these men who were looting her shack. But to this day, people say that they see a woman in brightly colored clothes walking Reformatory Road.
Dang.
So, one of those,
I haven't seen
plays that. Is about it.
That's cool.
Oh. Yes. So, we didn't go to Malabar Farms, when we went on our field trip, but...
It's about 15 minutes from the reformatory.
So, next time we'll have to go, maybe go in October,
mm-hmm.
see those plays going on,
yeah.
take some tours, but, yeah, that's just, like, it's crazy. You would never think, like, a place like Mansfield, Ohio... has all of these ghost stories.
Right.
And, like, also, like, very connected with Hollywood, with, like, all the movies shot at Mansfield Reformatory, mm-hmm. and, like, Bromfield with his, like, Humphrey Bogart wedding. Like, Humphrey Bogart.
Yes.
One of the most quoted actors.
I got to see the staircase that Lauren Bacall walked down with, ugh.
And he was like, he's still looking at you, kid.
Yep.
And then they got married. it's crazy. So, yeah, Mansfield, Ohio. Who knew?
Yeah, the tree that they escaped to in Shawshank. You remember that part?
He's not listening to us.
Nope.
But yes,
he remembers that part. They escape the prison and go to this tree. It actually burned down a few years ago. Got struck by lightning.
Of course.
It's fine.
But that tree's on our buddy's aunt's land. Jacob Sparks.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Like that short wall in the tree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the F?
It's... Fuck? Yeah, there we go. I was like, what the hell are you doing?
It's fine.
But yeah, very cool place.
No, I love it out there. And there's a really cool, there's a restaurant you can go to. But if you're going past Malabar Farm just a little bit, there is a an overlook. You can drive up, and it's terrifying to get up there. But once you get up, oh my god, the view. I have pictures that I can put on our Instagram page, too, where you can see the whole farm, but you can see over top all the trees. Like, it's just so pretty. My aunt and I went out there, and she took me to the reformatory, took me to Malabar Farm, and then drove me up this giant-ass hill, and we just stared out at nature for a long time. It's just so pretty up there. I went in the fall. Because I went recently. I drove up there, like, a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just on my own. And just stood up there for a while and just, like, marveled at how pretty it was. I don't know. All the leaves were changing, and it was a beautiful day. It was very windy, but, yeah. I was only afraid for, like, half a second that I was going to get kidnapped because there was a lot of people up there. But I made it alive. Here I am.
So, yeah. Be looking forward to other field trips that Megan and I go on. Mm-hmm. We're planning on hitting up some local haunts around Columbus, Ohio, or within a short distance.
Like, we're not trying to drive like 8 hours.
Yeah.
That would be
maybe
ridiculous.
Someday in the future. But yeah, if you have any suggestions of places that we should go or check out, please let us know. We still have our email, deadmagnoliaspodcast@gmail.com. And then as well as our Instagram gram page.
Instagram.
All legs. but yeah, Megan's really good at messaging back on that Instagram account. And also just follow us, because I think I'm pretty funny with the pictures I send. That's also where I'll do our corrections. So last week on the Christmas episode, when I was like, Silent Night, Deadly Night is a fucking dumb movie, I'm wrong. Well, maybe wrong. I don't know. I've never seen Silent Night, Deadly Night. I've seen Silent Night. Silent Night. And it was bad.
Did I watch that one with you?
Yes, that's the one with Malcolm McDowell.
Both of the covers looked familiar. So maybe I've seen the other one.
The Silent Night, Deadly Night is like 70s, 80s.
Maybe
something
I
like
haven't
that.
Seen it then. I don't know. But yeah, we'll post those. Thank
that's
you.
Where we'll correct stuff. It's fast.
Right. And thank you to our 95 followers. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Never
thought we would take off this much.
No, we really thought that this would just kind of be a dud. We'd get a few episodes in and say, wow, that was a lot of fun. But here we are.
This is the ninth.
Yeah. So 9 episodes later, and still going. With no end in sight. I don't say ominously, I say excitedly.
Okay. I was like, damn. But alright, yeah. That's all that we have for this episode.
Yeah.
We hope that you guys enjoy it and maybe put Mansfield on your bucket list of places to visit.
Please. It's so cool. The history and just, I don't know, it feels creepy in that building. I don't know. There's one room I really can't go into. Nolan went into it. And when she was in there, I was okay being in there with her, but there was no way in hell you're going to get me into one of these rooms by myself.
Well, also, Megan made me go into a cell where a man set himself on fire. And then she smiled for the picture. So, I'll post that one, too. But, yeah, it's creepy, it's cool, it's beautiful. Like, it's surprisingly gorgeous building, and the farms and everything. Why are you laughing?
I'm just, okay, it's not funny that this guy set himself on fire. But, in the Ghost Adventures episode, they take him to this cell, and they're like, yeah, a guy was, like, fed up, and ready to be out of here, so he lit himself on fire, and people came and grabbed him, and when they were taking him away, they were dragging him, and chunks of his flesh were falling off. And Zach just goes, oh, man, can you imagine? Chunks. And it's just like, I really love Ghost Adventures. I'm not really shitting on the show, but there's a lot of things that I can easily make fun of. That was a funny thing I forgot about until just right now.
You're not the deepest of people.
No.
But, very entertaining. Like us. Ha. So, if you find us entertaining, go ahead and hit follow on your Spotify podcasts or
and
Apple.
And we're on Apple. I don't think we announced that officially.
We did on Instagram.
We did, but we didn't announce it with our voices.
We're on Apple. If you prefer Apple, you can get us on Apple.
We're on Apple, Anchor,
Apple.
Google, Spotify, Breaker, Radio something.
They did the Spotify Unwrapped. And, like, they were like, hey, you listen to podcasts. You listen to your own podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Just shout to out to sure. Lachelle, who only listened to our podcast.
The only podcast we love you. To. Yes, we've been doing a Midwestern goodbye this entire fucking episode.
I have gone to the door 4 times at this point.
Yes. But we really do need to close this, because I need to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
All right, bye, friends.
Love
you all. Stay spooky.